God bless you, brethren. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. You may be here today, and your father is not here. You may be like my father who's died and gone on to be with the Lord. I praise the Lord that we have a gospel that is as powerful for a child, or is powerful for a child and is as powerful as that for a person who is near death. There's no other religion man-made. By the way, all religions other than Bible Christianity is man-made. But no man-made religion in which you can, on the last day of your life, believe something and go to heaven. If you come to the last end of your life, and if some other religion were true, by the way, none other religion is true. None other philosophy of life, none other belief system is true except what God has given us in the Scriptures. But if you came to believe Mormonism on the last day of your life, you're doomed. If you came to believe in the religion of Muhammad, if you came to believe that on the last day of your life, you're doomed. If you even believed and came to believe in Catholicism on the last day of your life, you'd be doomed. For you'd not be able to accomplish what would need to be done according to their philosophy. But praise God, ours, the true Bible, belief and faith in God, says this: if you believe by faith that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that He rose from the dead to save you from the penalty of your sin and what you deserve in judgment and condemnation in your sin, that very moment He saves you and you will have a home in heaven. I praise the Lord for my father who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a hospital bed. In that hospital bed, he died just a few weeks later. I praise the Lord that it is faith in Christ that gives us salvation and not what we might do. Because I could never do enough. I could never do enough to earn my way into heaven. There are those who say, I can go into heaven if I just do enough good and at least get to more good than bad. Number one, the Scripture is very clear that if we break one of the laws of God, we've broken them all. The Scripture is also very clear that not only do we sin in our evil deeds, but even in our righteous deeds, we're nothing more than filthy rags. Take that as it may, I want you to know that you couldn't do enough good to overweigh what you've done in evil against God. And so He says, I have a better way. I'm going to send my Son that He may take upon Himself our sin. And He did. The Scripture says that He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And I praise the Lord for that. Today's message is a message from the Word of God to fathers. But if you're not a father today, or if you have found that your greatest days of being a father are over, if you're here today and you think of your own father, and I begin to say things that show that your father was not what he should have been, I don't say it to condemn him or to make you feel bad about him. For the Scripture says we ought to honor our father and our mother. I have fond memories of my dad. I love my dad. Did he do everything right? By no means. He didn't get saved until his last days. He did not teach me how to be saved. It's the responsibility of a father to teach his children how to be saved, how to know Christ as their Savior. He didn't do that for me. But my dad did so much for me. And I love him. And I'm excited that one day I'll get to see him in heaven. But I promise you today, I'm not trying to condemn you, but to help. And as I read these scripture, and as I preach concerning their meaning, understand that as a daddy of a 7-year-old and almost a 5-year-old and almost a 1.5-year-old, I understand that I'm far from what I should be. But I praise God for the grace and the mercy that He's given my family. That He's helped us along the way, and He'll help you too. As you set out to live for Him, He will help you to be the daddy. That even though you cannot and will not be a perfect daddy, He'll help you to be the daddy that you could and should be. In the world in which I believe the day in which we live is as close to the day of Noah as any time in the history of the world. Now, that being said, there were 8 people at most that were saved, and none other of the whole world got on a boat. Praise God that there's far more than 8 people saved in the world today. In every generation that there's ever been, there's always been a remnant of those who believed on the Lord. And even though we may think that we're in a vast majority, and we are, I don't think we're in as far a minority as we think we are. Elijah said, "I'm the only one, God, I'm the only one." And God said, "I want you to know something. I've got 5,000 that I've set apart just for me. 5,000 set apart just for me. You're not the only one." And though the tide is against us, there's someone far greater than the tide of the world, and that's our God. Amen? Well, I plead with you, consider what God has to say. For in the end, these principles of a father are the principles of one who sets out to make disciples. And it is the role of a father to set out to make disciples of their children. Jesus said unto His disciples, "All power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations," or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And brethren, that's the role of the Father. And I want to warn you, daddies, here today, as I warn myself, that you will be accountable unto God based upon this Scripture, because this Scripture is written to you. And so if you notice there, in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1, the Scripture says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long in the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." If you like to underline things in your Bible, I'd like you to underline that phrase, nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's a deficiency in our society today. It's a deficiency of fatherhood. May God help us this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, I ask You to fill us with Your Holy Spirit today. May You stir us up, both fathers and mothers, grandfathers and grandmothers, children, teenagers, young adults. Stir us up. Help us to understand the day in which we live. And may we take seriously these commands. Oh, Father, I beg You, please help us. Help me as I preach today. And may the generation behind me, if Your son Terry and not come soon, may there be a generation of Christians raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That we may not be fathers according to the world and how the world would have us do it, but we would be fathers according to your Scripture and doing it the way you would have us to do it. I beg you, Father, have your hand upon the daddies of our church. We need you. We so desperately need you. Help us. We pray in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you notice there in verse 4, God becomes very specific. In the previous verses, He speaks to children. And then He comes, not to parents, but to fathers. He says, "And ye fathers." Understand, when God decided to say, "And ye fathers," He is placing upon us as dads the great responsibility of what is coming after in raising up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And not only is He raising, not only is He giving us the great responsibility, but now He has set forth this: you are accountable to whether or not you raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is now you who are going to be held accountable for whether or not your children grow to know the Lord, to know how to be saved, to know how to learn of God in the Scriptures. It is going to be you who are going to be held accountable. And I want you to answer this question: who are we going to be held accountable to? We'll be held accountable to God. There will be a day where we will face God and we will have to answer. We will have to answer what we've done with our children. Brethren, God in this verse takes seriously the task of parenthood and the great work of fatherhood. Amen? We give so much to so many things. God wants to bring us to a place where we say, "I want to give much to what God wants me to give much to." Amen? He says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." I've looked at this verse many times. Every time I look at this verse and I think about my own children, I think about instances where my child's got mad, or I was gotten mad at me sometimes. He sometimes gets upset with me. I tell him to go clean his room and he wants to do something else, he'll get upset. How many ever had that happen to you? You know? Riley, go clean your room. And you need to stop what you're doing right now and go clean your room. And you can just see the anger starting to well up within him. And I sometimes have to remind him, "Hey, buddy, I'm bigger than you. Go clean your room," right? But I do praise the Lord for my son. But there are times that he gets angry and I start saying, "You know what? I know I'm not supposed to provoke my children to wrath." But understand this, that when God writes, "Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord," what He is saying here is He's making comparison of two ways in which we can parent. There is the way in which we raise up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, or we can raise them up to be provoked to wrath. It is not taking instances within our parenting when our children get upset. Because here's the thing. Children are going to get upset with us even when we want them to do right. Isn't that right? Children in their sin are going to get upset when we confront them about what is right and what is wrong. They're going to get angry at us. There's going to be times where we chastise our children and we send them to their room and they go up with a huff and a puff and they go up the stairs like this. Right? You ever done that? I remember doing that as a kid. Right? "I'm going to show Mom and Dad how mad I am." And I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Hopefully Riley's not hearing me, because there's going to be a day where he can do this too. But I put holes in the doors. I'd get so mad at Mom and Dad. And they weren't trying to do anything wrong. They were trying to raise me in the best way they knew how. They weren't trying to get me upset. But I'd get mad, you know. You'd take away my Nintendo. Anybody know what a Nintendo is, by the way? Nintendos are not Wii's. I'd be playing my Nintendo, and they'd say, "Hey, you need to go clean that room. That room is nasty. That's disgusting what's going on in their room. And I'd just keep playing. And then Mom come off and she'd shut that thing off. She'd hit the power button. Right? Listen, when you're playing a game that you back in Nintendo day, you'd get like certain spots where you could save. It didn't constantly save. And so I might have been playing for an hour and didn't save. Mom come push that button. Whole hour gone, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? Right, Stephen? Stephen told me he was a Nintendo guy. I said, you played Nintendo? He said, well, Super Nintendo. So he's a little bit after me. But I get mad. I get furious. And there's going to be times where our children get furious at us, and they shouldn't, because it's wrong for them to get mad at us when we're trying to do right for them and we're telling them to do right, right? By the way, husbands, you ought not get mad at your wife when she's trying to help you to do right. Right? God has called our wives to be our helpmeet. To help us do what? Well, to help us keep the house clean and to help us to make sure the kids get a bath. No, that's not it. God has given us our wives to help us to do right and to help us do the will of God. That's why He's given us our wives. Can you believe that? And men, God has given you to your wife to help them to do the will of God. That's why we have each other. It's not for domestic duties. We got to help each other in that. It's not so that we have a food to eat, a meal on the table. It's to help each other do right. And we get that through our thick heads. Right? That's what God said when He said, I will make him a helpmeet. I will make him a helpmeet. May God help we who are Christians to give the value that God has to a woman. It's to help get the will of God done in the world. And let me ask you, which one's more important? The dust on the ground or the will of God in the world? Which one's more important? That's right, the will of God in the world, right? I have trouble with that. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know how many times I've had to apologize to my precious wife for being a dope. But I get mad when she tries to get me to do the right thing. And it's wrong. It's wrong. We ought not get mad at what's right. But our children do, don't they? As they're growing to maturity, they get mad at what's right. I found sometimes I got to let my son get it out and let him steam it up. And whatever it is he needs to do, as long as he's not breaking things. And then I'll go in and I'll have to say, listen, Riley, I want you to understand that what you just did is wrong. Not only was it wrong for you not to get your room clean, but it was wrong the way you acted. Right? You say, well, but you were not supposed to provoke your children to wrath. What God is saying here is He's not trying to take a snapshot of parenting and say that your children ought never get angry at you, because they're going to get angry at us, because people in general do. Now, I believe with all my heart that we ought not to prod our children towards anger, and there are times in our parenting where we are doing wrong and our wrong leads to the anger of our children, where we're not taking care of them because we're being selfish. And we ought to be convicted in those snapshots of our parenting that we are not doing what's right. But I want you to understand, when God says, provoke not your children to wrath, but when He uses the word, He's not taking a phrase that He wants to be used as a snapshot in parenting, and then says, but raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, let me ask you, when He says, raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, is He talking about a snapshot of our parenting, or is He talking about our parenting from beginning to end? Beginning to end. And so we can't take the first phrase and call it a snapshot, and then take the second phrase and talk about it as the way we're supposed to do it. You see, the thing is, Christian, Daddy, understand, the way you parent in general can lead to a child growing up to be a child of wrath. Understand that. You can lead your child to be a child of wrath based upon the way you parent. Based upon what you do with that child's life, that child can grow up to be a child of wrath. The Scripture speaks of Judas as a child of wrath. And there is a way, if we are not careful. When I say careful, I mean with great care, loving, and getting our children on board and understanding who God is and how much He loves them. If we, in the general way in which we parent, there is a possibility that down the road, there will come a place where our children are children of wrath. What do I mean? Children who have been, by the way Daddy treated them, and the way Daddy taught them, and the way Daddy was an example unto them, that in the end, they are not at peace with God, but they are at wrath with God. Brethren, there is a way to peace with God. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our children, by the time we're done with their parent, with our parenting within the home, I believe that they can have a sincere love for Christ. A sincere love for Christ. But if we do not care about our children day to day and moment by moment as we live our lives as daddies, then there's a possibility that when they grow not on the path and the way of God, but in the way of wrath. Do you know what leads? Do you know why people are so angry today? You see, we might ask the question, how do we as fathers provoke our children to wrath? I think there's a singular answer. And that's that we remove the reality of God in their lives. We remove the reality of God in their lives. The Scripture says, where there is no God, there is no hope. And do you know what happens to people with no hope? Well, we can answer that question with school shootings. That's what happens to people with no hope. Let me ask you. When that young man in California decided he was going to take some guns and start shooting girls because none of them would have sex with him, was that a child of wrath? He was a man with no hope. You see, if he had hope, he wouldn't have let himself to get killed or killed himself or whatever happened. But all these young men are young men without hope. And they're filled with wrath. And they kill people because they're filled with wrath. And then they kill themselves because they have no hope. You see, if they knew the reality of God, they'd have hope, wouldn't they? Because no matter how hard and how difficult life is, and no matter the fact that no girl may like you. By the way, no girl may like you right now, but God will give you a precious woman. I promise you. I had to wait a little while. I wanted to be married for about 3 years before I got married, or 4 years before I got married. And there are some tough years. I encourage you, young people, don't think of yourself in a place as unable to have something that God wants you to have. Listen, if you want a Christian woman to have as your wife, to be able to have a helpmeet to work alongside and do the will of God, and then also to enjoy the sexual relationship with that person, don't think God doesn't want you to have it. But God can give you something precious. Pray about it. And God will give you something precious. He'll give you a wonderful and incredible woman to help you along the way. But that poor man, he's in hell now. He's in hell. And there's a likelihood that not only is he gnashing his teeth. You know why we gnash our teeth, by the way? Wrath. And may God help us to understand the seriousness of what it means to be a dad. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? Because we will be held accountable. Understand that man's dad is going to be held accountable. Now, I don't think his dad's saved, but he's going to be held accountable. How do we provoke our children to wrath? We remove the reality of the God of the Bible in their lives. We remove the reality of the God of the Bible in their lives. How many days of a child's life should they face the reality of God in their lives? How many days? Every day, right? who is going to show them the reality of God in their lives? Daddy and Mommy, but we'll see in a second that Daddy has such an incredible role. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you gave thanksgiving or praise to God where your child heard it? You see, where there is no praise, do you know what we do? We remove the reality of God. When we have no praise to God, what we're in effect saying is God is doing nothing. You wonder why we're in the way we are today? The Scripture says in this day that we would live in a society of thanklessness. We live in a society where Christians don't have a thankful heart towards God. And I will tell you the truth. I have worked with little ones. And my wife has worked with little ones. And my wife spent money, and some of you guys have spent money to get a good snack or a great craft or something that could be done. The kids enjoy it. And there's two words that they don't hear today. What are those two words? That's right. We live in the last days, brethren. But do you know why they don't say thank you? That's right, because we don't say thank you. When was the last time you thanked your server, the one who served you at a restaurant? You said, ma'am, I just want to thank you for serving us today. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time your child heard thank you come out of your lips for something that your wife did for you? We live in a thankless society, but you know who it goes back to? Daddy. Daddy's thankless. And so the children grow to be thankless. We remove the reality of God, the God of the Bible, from our lives. Turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I want you to notice this very sobering verse. This very sobering verse. I want you to notice in verses 1 and 2. Chapter 17, verse 1 and 2, the Scripture says, "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come." Now that word offenses does not mean that people are going to say things that are offensive. The word offenses means that we are causing people to lose trust in the one who is trustworthy. Now, who's trustworthy in this world? Who's trustworthy in this world? There's one good, and that is God. God's good. He's trustworthy. Who should we always find our trust in and say, I believe, if God says it, I believe it. And when we do, when the offense is not, somebody called me a bad name, or somebody did something that I didn't like and I'm offended. By the way, you know what? We live in a society that's just so easily offended. Sometimes I find myself scared to say anything because I might offend someone. Right? It's amazing. We ought not be a people that are so easily offended. Let the world be offended. Amen? Let them say, if I get too hot a coffee at McDonald's, I'm going to sue you. Right? How about we not be so easily offended? It's a shame the way we treat people sometimes. You know, by the way, if you have your Dunkin' Donuts app, if you have that on your phone, you get a free coffee for Father's Day. I said, well, I'm going to use that. So I went to Dunkin' today. I said, I'd like a medium regular. Now, what does regular mean? Cream and sugar. Now, this girl must have been from Illinois, I guess. But she gave me a black coffee, you know. I don't know how anybody can drink black coffee. That's something else. You really are a man if you can drink black coffee, but... I took a sniff. I said, that doesn't smell right. I took a sip. I said, oh, that doesn't taste right. And so I went in. And you know what I felt like doing? I felt like screaming and saying, this is, you know what regular coffee is? But I praise God. By His grace, I went in with a smile and said, listen, I got coffee. And you must be from down south. I got a southern regular coffee. Up north, regular means cream and sugar. And she laughed with me, and I got it right. But you know as well as I do that there have been times that you weren't so nice, and there are times I haven't been so nice. That when the service wasn't up to what you wished it was, you get upset and angry, and you go around the drive-thru and you sit there, and there's a long line, and you're steaming, and you're getting madder and madder, and as soon as they get up, they say, "You put onions on my burger! What kind of service is this? Terrible! You guys, what are you thinking there? How about this? I'm making $6 and something cents an hour, and most of it's going to the government, and listen, if you get onions in your burger, just deal with it, right?" That's what they should say to us. You know? But we know it. But I want you to know, that's not the offense that God's talking about. What God's talking about is when we steal away from somebody their trust in God. I want you to notice, it says it's impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone be hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, then he should offend one of these little ones. You say, "I know what that means. That means if we offend one of these little ones, we're going to hell." The truth is we can be offensive to little ones and still go to heaven, because heaven is not based upon what we do, but what we believe, right? It is by faith that we're saved through grace, right? Is it possible for a Christian, someone who's saved, to, by the way they live, be an offense to a child? In other words, steal away their trust in the Lord. It's been going on for generations in our country, where those who go to church and say they're Christians, and I think many of them sincere, by the way they live and by their thanklessness, by their lack of praise, by their being so easily offended, by their complaining against their neighbor and against other people in the church, by getting upset with the pastor. It's a shame when moms and dads get upset with other people in the church and they go home and they're in their car and they just start yapping away and the kids are in the back in their little car seat listening away, right? Let me tell you something. What we're doing is we're being an offense to those little ones, because now we're stealing away the trustworthiness of God and the people of God in their lives. Are you listening? We're stealing it away. And I want you to know, when our little ones grow up and they have no trust and love for the Lord, there's going to come a day where we say, "It'd be better for me if just a millstone was hanged about my neck and I was thrown into the river. Because this stinks. My life, my heart is so broken. How did this happen?" It's not just that, yes, people will be severely, severely punished for their stealing away the trust that God deserves. And I believe the militant atheists of our day, they have a reckoning coming. There's going to be a reckoning. They're going to have to deal with an angry God. But oh to God, that we'd not come to the day in our lives as Christians where we are so upset that we say, "It'd be better for me to die than to deal with my son and the way he's lived and what he's going on to do." May God help us to not provoke our children to wrath by removing the reality of God. But notice there, the Scripture wonderfully, back there in Ephesians chapter 6. By the way, you should love the butts of Scripture. Love them. Because it shows what wonderful things. And so, yes, we should not provoke our children to wrath by removing the reality of God in our homes, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want you to notice those three little words. Bring them up. Understand that there's only a certain amount of time that we have. There's an eventual time where the up is going to come and our children are going to leave our homes and our opportunity to have the greatest influence in their lives is going to cease. My son's 7 years old. It astounds me that he's seven. Many of you have children, they're 27 or 37 or 47. You understand that your time, the influence that you have over them, at least the way you did, is gone. Right? It's gone. It's not there. Why? They don't live with you anymore. Right? They're gone off. They're living with their wives, with their children. And so the Scripture says, but bring them up. In other words, understand that the days are short. that you only have a little time. So, you know what that means? That puts how much importance on Monday morning? But bring them up. How much importance is Monday morning? How important is Monday morning for your home? Very important. How about Tuesday morning? How about Tuesday? How about Wednesday? How about Thursday? How about Friday? How about next Lord's Day? How important is each day? The Bible tells us in Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days. Daddy, if there's something that God wants you to do for your son, your daughter, today, do it. Because today may be all you have. Today may be all you have. And there will come a day where you say, I wish I'd done more with my children. There's the constraint of time. Then the Scripture says, nurture. Nurture. Now guys, we often think of the word nurture as a mother's thing. I want you to think about this. But a mother's love will lead them to protect their children from the surrounding evil. It's like a goose, right? And when the evil comes, when the cars start to come and their little goslings or whatever you call it down there, they come. What does the mother do? Wraps them up in their wings, right? And says, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect you from the evils of this world. Praise God for moms. Isn't that true? But a daddy's different. A daddy's different. They want to protect their children, but a daddy wants to teach their children to grow up that they might protect themselves. A mother's love leads them to go ahead and protect their children from the enemy. A father's love leads them to go beside and teach the child to protect oneself and then go forth with an offensive against the enemy. You know why we have such weak men today? You know why my generation is growing up so weak? They had mothers that loved them, but they did not have fathers that loved them. And now they don't know what to do. Mom protected them, but now mother's gone. And I don't know what to do. Fathers are the ones who take them alongside and teach them. I told you last week, my wife got mad at me bringing Riley up on the roof, but I don't want him to be scared to get up and work hard. I want him to know that hard work's good and it's hot up there, and I didn't keep him up there long, and I was there with him, and he was pretty safe. But, man, we live in such the feminization of the world today, and the reason why, there's no dads to take him up on the roof, right? There's no dads to take the training wheels off. There's no dads to to get the shovel and go outside and dig the trench and the holes for the fences. Daddies, it is your job to nurture your children. The word nurture means to build up. It is your job to build up the walls and teach your children to build them up when you're gone. If you notice there, how do we do that? How do we do that? Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll go quick. We're almost done. Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you notice there, in verse 4, the Scripture says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord our God, is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It's a good thing to speak about what God has said in the Word of God. I'll often, when I'm taking my son to school in the morning, say, you know what I was reading in the Bible this morning, kiddo? And I'll tell him. Right? Me and John will go out for coffee. Maybe it's not sometimes, maybe it's a lot of times, but we'll go out for coffee, and sometimes John will sit in here and he'll start talking about, you know, I was reading in the Bible. And I say, praise God, that's good. Because we ought to be reading in the Bible, right? Do you know what you can teach your children from the Bible? How about what you read in it that morning, right? I say, I have nothing to teach my children. Well, read your Bible. You'll have plenty to teach them, right? You can take the book of Proverbs, precious book, right? How many days are there in half the months? 31. How many chapters in Proverbs are there? 31. You could take a chapter in Proverbs and begin to read it, and as soon as the Lord impresses upon you something to say, you could say what God said. You may be, today's the 18th, right? So you're in the 18th chapter of Proverbs. You start talking to your children about, you start reading it together, and then you get to a place that I know what that means, and you start telling your sons and your daughters what the Bible says. I believe every mommy and daddy, but particularly daddies, can teach the Bible if only they got into it and started reading it. But I tell you what, if we are not a people of the Word, if we're not people learning the Word of God and teaching our children so, it's just another way that we can provoke our children to wrath, just another way that we can remove God from our homes. Hebrews chapter 12, what else do we do? How else do we nurture? It's not only teaching, it's also correcting. The Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, notice there, in verse 5, it says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son in whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons." Do you want to deal with your sons as sons? Chasten them when they're wrong. By the way, I don't believe that you ought to spank your child every time they do something wrong, but they ought to know when they've done wrong every time they've done it. Does that make sense? In other words, if they do something wrong, they need to know it, right? Either it's because you tell them what you're doing is wrong and you need to stop it, or if it comes to the place where, yes, you're just going to keep doing this and it's going to ruin you if I don't get this out of you now, and I'm going to spank you now, son, because you need a spanking, because this has got to stop. And you give them a spanking. Don't tell the government I told you to say that. They'll shut us down. But listen, we need to understand what the Scripture says. Amen? May God help us. May God help us. Verse 9, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" Brethren and daddies, be willing and definitely take on the responsibility of the chastising work in the home. Because it's the way that you nurture. It's the way that you nurture. And Luke chapter 9, and this is so important, it's all the rest is worthless if we don't understand what God would have us to be. In chapter 9, in verse 23, the Scripture says, And Jesus said, and He said unto them all, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me." Paul said, "Follow Me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, we can teach the Bible, we can chasten wrong, but if we are not an example of Christ to our children, we are hypocrites. And it destroys them. Now, can any daddy be perfect? Will any daddy in here be perfect? There are times where we yell when we shouldn't. There are times when we say things we shouldn't say. There are times that we punish our children and find out later that they were actually doing right. Has it ever happened to you? It's happened to me, right? There have been times where I hear Lily start screaming in the other room, and I say, "Riley, why do you do that to your sister?" Find out that she fell, and he was trying to help her, right? And I say, "Listen, what do?" "Listen, son, I am sorry. But we ought to set out to live as Christ would have us to live as daddies." You see, if we are not living for Christ, all the teaching about Christ and trying to get our children to do it will in the end be so vain. May God help us to understand. Daddies, mommies too. And everybody who's in authority, we have been given responsibility over others to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the Scriptures, daddies, say this, "And ye fathers." May God help us. Let's bow our heads to pray. You may say, "I don't know what to do. What do I do?" Isaiah chapter 40 says, "Wait upon the Lord, and He shall give thee strength." You can have strength in the Lord if you wait upon Him, if you turn to Him and know Him. The Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 3, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." There's no way we'll know what to do and how to do it and with a spirit to do it in if we're not waiting upon the Lord. In the quietness of the moment, daddies, speaking to you and to me, do you understand your lack? Do you understand? Do you understand your failure? Do you understand your responsibility? Do you understand your accountability? Between you and God, I'm pleading with you. I know there's big things planned for lots of dads in here after service today. But don't let this time go by without a time between you and God where you ask Him to forgive you for sin. Where you ask Him to help you for the days to come. Where you ask Him to help you to be the daddy you should be. And so now is a time of decision. It's a time of reckoning. A time between you and God. Would you go before Him and ask Him to help you?